Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Day 2, Patriots training camp has wrapped up. We're brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. We have a Kiefer Madness for you. It's quick evolving at 12:45. We're going to pay tribute to the late, great Hulk Hogan, who passed away earlier today at the age of 71. We got that news earlier today. So Keith going to give the full Hogan tribute there.
You better believe it.
In Kiefer Madness.
That's right. Kind of a throwback, Jones. At the last version of this show, we somehow had a lot of dead wrestlers that we sort of highlighted during Kiefer Madness.
Yeah.
There's a whole series of them.
No, it's sad, but it's also cathartic.
It is. I think it's important. You know, Greg has his audio eulogy. We have Kiefer Madness, where we sort of look at the lives, the careers of these great gladiators. And so that's what we're gonna do today with the guy, maybe the most famous one of them all. 71 years old, Hulk Hogan. So, yeah, we will talk about him. Matt did best matches, maybe promos, movies. The guy was a crossover star. So we'll get into all of that at 12:45.
Okay, that's Kiefer Madness, 12:45. Meantime, biggest takeaways from day 2. Patriots training camp. I've seen Jabril Peppers talk to the media. I thought I saw Nwenu on there quickly.
Kendrick Bourne. I think that's Barmore now.
Bourne was just leaving. You're right. That is Christian Barmore, who I don't think was a full participant today at camp, so I find it interesting that he's talking. Let's start with that on some takeaways here, and then we can get to more broad stuff. But since you mentioned Barmore, a lot of the beat writers are detailing individual work for Barmore look limited today. Maybe it's planned as he's working himself back from a scary health situation last year. Didn't take any part in 11-on-11 reps today.
Yeah.
But I'd say the fact that he's talking to the media is probably a good sign.
Definitely a good sign. You know, that first of all, he's here and that he's even doing this, because sometimes they'll try to hide some of the really injured players, or they'll get them out of sight, out of mind, kind of until they're able to go. He really is one of those real swing players, right? Like, I think there's a version of this season where you're like, wow, Christian Barmore really emerged. He stayed healthy. He's one of the top defensive linemen in the league. Looks like a great pick from a few years ago. But then there's also the unfortunate side where, is he able to stay on the field? How many games do you get out of Christian Barmore this year? And then you're left looking at other depth defensive linemen that are going to have to play way more. Because I think with Milton Williams, you're thinking, wow, Barmore could be in for a monster
year.
Could be
a wrecking crew. Right.
Yeah, the two of them together, but then also just, what are you going to double team Barmore? Probably not. You got Milton Williams there, so you're hoping to see those two guys play alongside each other all season. But you never know with Barmore.
Nope. So he continues to talk. I see Morgan Moses stepping up there as well. Some takeaways, and I hear what's the ovation? Guys running around signing. I'd imagine that's May. Oh yeah, I see May, far side of the field.
He's signing more autographs.
So that's where you're getting a little pop from the crowd. He's running around signing autographs out there.
He is very friendly to the fans, which is smart. That's a good thing to do.
Win them over.
Yep.
Reese, we read you this tweet before the last break, but I'll reiterate. He says, initial thought after second practice, this was a get the ball out quick and take the profit day for quarterback Drake May. Probably not too exciting for those in attendance, but part of May's game that could be critical in lowering the INT count today. I'm reading from Phil Perry. Says, Pats wrap up day 2 of training camp. Christian Barmore limited. As we detailed, Jalen Polk out again. He says, and agrees with Reese, big emphasis was on the short passing game. It seemed Drake May completed 14 of 15 competitive reps, many of those close to the line of scrimmage. His final attempt batted down at the line. It appeared to be Jeremiah Farms with the breakup. May also put the ball on the ground at one point in time, fumbled exchange between he and Jared Allen. And then just going through all these QB pieces, Callahan, similar numbers, 14 out of 15 for May. 9 out of 12 for Dobbs. He says Diggs had 2 catches from May. Douglas and Stevenson had 3 apiece. He says 35% of May's completions were screens and swing pass. Focus on beating the blitz. As we just detailed, he fumbled one snap. Then he chalked the team up for 5 sacks with Drake May out there. Maybe it's not just with May. I should take that back. 5 total sacks.
Okay.
Landry with 2. Swinson again. Mapu. And another team sack, says Andrew Callahan.
I'll tell you, if you get a good year out of Harold Landry, that could go a long way, because he was sort of brought in. You're like, all right, he's a pass rusher, maybe a little bit past his prime, but he has the relationship with Vrabel. How could he be? Because that's an area of need for this team. So, I don't know, he might be flying under the radar a little bit just because Milton Williams got the money. Carlton Davis, you look at him and the combo that it could be with Gonzalez. All the attention we've given to Steph Diggs. I haven't really talked much about Harold Landry.
No,
so maybe he'd be a nice addition. A
couple more notes here from Callahan. He says Campbell, Henderson, Williams, and Jared Wilson all rotating in with the first team offense. He says the future is coming up fast with all those rookies. That's a good sign.
Yeah, it is.
He also says Campbell and Onwenu are the only offensive line mainstays. Rotations at left guard, center, and right tackle. He says the team is, quote-unquote, preserving Morgan Moses.
All right. Well, Morgan Moses is the oldest of that group, right? So that might be what it is, right? You know, this goes back to what Vrabel said on Tuesday, too. He was asked about Diggs, but he kind of opened it up to everybody, being like, yeah, he doesn't have any limitations, but he's not going to do everything because nobody's going to do everything. And so with somebody like Morgan Moses, he's missed a few games the last couple of years. You're just trying to get him healthy through camp, right? You figure he's going to be able to pick everything up. He's been in the league for such a long time. He's played on a bunch of teams. So you're not really worried about that as much. You're probably more worried about the physical part for Moses. And who knows, maybe somebody else catches your eye. And maybe somebody else is pretty good and is deserving of being either the top backup or starting on another spot on the line. So the fact that Campbell and Onwenu are out there all the time kind of makes sense because we went in this, I don't think there was no consensus on who the center or the left guard were going to be.
No.
And then right tackle, you're hopeful that it's Moses, but we'll see. So, yeah.
It better be Morgan Moses. I mean, if they're preserving him early in camp, I don't care, but that is who it better be.
No. It's him unless he physically can't go.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So, yeah. No, it definitely should be him. You can pencil him in, but I think you're going to need to be prepared, like with every team's offensive line, for the next wave of guys because you see – how many offensive linemen played for the Patriots last year? And some of that was performance, but a lot of it was injury. Too.
I heard Wiggy and Shine were kind of arguing about the O-line yesterday morning, I think, and Wiggy read the starting offensive linemen in game one against Cincinnati, and I honestly couldn't believe it. I couldn't remember.
I didn't hear that part. Was it like Darian Lowe?
It was like Michael Jordan.
Oh yeah, Michael Jordan.
Remember
Michael
the guard?
C. Jordan.
Yeah. There was another name where I was like, oh, my God, I forgot about that. Oh, the guy who left Okorafor.
Oh, the guy who quit?
The guy who went AWOL.
Yeah, he quit.
And so that way, I mean, they used a million different combos last year. Hopefully they can settle on one here this year.
Yeah.
A couple more notes from Callahan, and you keep hearing the ovations. I just assume that's Drake May moving around and signing autographs in different places. He says a lot of pressure from Milton Williams, which I guess there's a good and a bad to that. It's like Williams looks good, but the O-line continues to give up pressure. And then something we haven't mentioned in a while, Carlton Davis absent today. He was here yesterday. He was absent. We talked about that a lot early in the show. I don't know the last time we mentioned that. So a housekeeping issue there. Bedard says not much to read into at practice today. He tweeted out, not much to be gleaned from practice. Offense worked mostly on the quick game. Screens, deceptive plays, and runs, not much downfield, which leads to a high completion percentage. And not many issues pass blocking. So he was critical yesterday of the O-line. He says not many issues pass blocking today. I would say my eyes disagree with that, and I think most of the other B writers disagree with that.
They were kind of under pressure a little bit more. It felt like all the quarterbacks today.
Yeah, no, look, Bedard knows way more about what he's talking about than me. He's watched way more of these than I have, but I thought there was a lot of tiptoeing around and being forced to step up in the pocket from May because there was a lot of activity.
But also, just being in helmets is kind of tricky for that specific part of it.
Yep.
You know, I'd look more to it. You know, Pop Douglas making a great play. So yesterday, where it was Diggs and Kyle Williams kind of led the way, right? Like Drake May had one incompletion during 11-on-11s. Diggs and Kyle Williams kind of flashed. Today, Williams had a drop, but Pop Douglas showed up. And I think in some order, those should be your top three wide receivers this year.
Yep.
And so I think for stuff like that, you know, where you can still get a little bit of coverage, there's obviously not as much contact as there might be. I don't know if they announced when they go full pads. I don't know how many practices.
I think a lot of the writers are saying it's probably going to be Monday.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know that that's official, but I think that's kind of what they're hinting
at. And that'll add like a whole other layer of kind of intensity throughout all the drills.
Well, I would say you can definitely put more stock in yesterday's practice than today.
Yeah,
right?
Agreed.
This was more half speed, zero pads.
Yep.
Like you can put more yesterday than today, but you'll put more into Monday than anything we've seen to this point in time or wherever they throw the full pads on. But again, Bedard says not much to glean from today's practice. And again, doesn't think there was much in terms of pressure on Drake May.
But I think one thing that you can kind of tell even from afar, it helps with, you know, what he said yesterday, Drake May. But just watching him out on the field, you're like, it's his team. He's the top guy.
I have nothing to compare it to. I haven't been to a training camp in a million years. You know, but that's what it looks like. If you didn't know any better, you're like, it's this guy's team. The way the crowd reacts, the way he carries things around, the way he's first up through drills, the way he is interacting out there on the field. I mean, it's corny, but I do think there's something to that's one of the things we wanted to see.
And I also – now, there is a significant drop-off from him to the next couple of guys. And last year, Jacoby Brissett came in, and it was just sort of like a weird camp in that regard because it was like he was clearly told he was going to be the guy.
Yep.
But was only going to be the guy for so long. So Drake May, I think, found himself in sort of a weird spot. Like, he's one of the youngest guys on the team, doesn't want to completely overstep. But if you're a quarterback, you are a de facto leader. But how much do you want to do when you're getting a lot of, like, second-team reps, some first-team reps? I don't know. It's just another kind of issue. Like, you know, there's a handful of teams around the league this year that are probably dealing with the same thing where it's like a quarterback battle, but is it a real quarterback battle or is it already sort of a sham job? You don't have any of that stuff this year. This is like, all right, it's
right.
Drake May's team.
No questions asked whose team it is.
Yeah, but I think he's already kind of accepted that, and then all the players are going in that direction.
Just keeping an eye on the media down there. It looks like it's Ramondre Stevenson talking now. So, you know, a lot of familiar faces have talked today. Peppers, Stevenson, Barmore, I guess Morgan Moses still talking down there as well. So a little different. Speaking of Moses, one more detail. This is the last one, at least, that caught my eye. Patriots offensive line continues to be, according to Mark Daniels, Campbell, Strange, Bradbury, Unwenu, Moses. He says Wilson is rotated in at center and left guard. Demontre Jacobs is rotated in at right tackle. Feels like Moses is on a pitch count. But that's the most frequent offensive line out there, which was under duress yesterday. Also, and we mentioned this earlier, I see Kyle Williams walking over now. Williams had one drop in teamwork today. I haven't seen anybody else tweet this. I'm 99% sure he's the one who I saw with a fumbled punt over here. 18, he's wearing those green cleats. I'm pretty sure that was him. But I saw a drop punt as well. So maybe after a good day yesterday and a strong day yesterday for Kyle Williams, not a good day today. And again, we mentioned this early in the show. That was the punt. Thank you.
Keep him humble.
Well, but it's a fresh reminder where we're like, man, Kyle Williams looked great. Strong hands, making plays on Gonzo. But again, remember last year at camp, Jalen Polk was making plays and even looked good in the preseason games. And the guy's probably going to be cut after being a second-round pick a year ago. So it's a reminder not to get too far ahead of ourselves. Yesterday was a good day. Today, not so much for the rookie Kyle Williams.
Yeah, I think that's what you're going to get with a lot of third-round rookies. You're going to get sort of the highs and lows. You hope that the highs obviously outweigh it, and then it's going to be compared to other guys. Like, I don't think any of the other receivers have really stood out good or bad, right? Like, yesterday it was pretty highlighted by Diggs, the attention he was getting, how he looks cutting and everything else, and that was a highlight. That was a positive. Kyle Williams, same thing, couple of throws, especially one on Gonzalez. You didn't even really notice who else was out there.
No.
I guess today Booty had a nice play.
Booty had the first catch of team drills. Yeah, Pop Douglas had a nice catch on the sideline.
Pop Douglas had a nice one. But then some of the other guys have been kind of just a little bit invisible. But just another thing to kind of monitor throughout out camp. You know, you mentioned, was it Phil's stock watch? You know, guys up, guys down.
Yep.
So maybe Williams, slight arrow down, but maybe it's, you know, back to the ground level, right? Because it was up after the first training camp practice, a little bit down today.
Now, let me give you one more thing.
What do you
got? I don't want to spoil anything for WEEI Afternoons, but really, this is a reason to stick around for WEEI Afternoons. I think I see Hart and Fitzy down there with Diggs, right?
My eyesight's not great.
Okay, Terps in the blue polo down there with the white hat. That's Hart with his stupid visor, right? And that's Fitzy with Diggs.
If it's somebody with a visor, that's definitely Hart.
I'm pretty sure that's what I'm seeing.
Okay.
I'll get an official tease for you for WEEI. No, that was Pop. I thought I saw an 8. That's a 3.
You only saw one half of the number.
Yeah, it looked like he did look short. I thought I saw an 8. That's a 3. All right, Pop Douglas, stick around for that.
As bad as my eyesight
is, and Hart.
I can see Hart's giant head with the visor though.
So it is. If you see someone with a visor with 2/3 of their head sticking out of it,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's definitely him.
But no, it's Pop Douglas, number 3, not a number 8. Well, that's a shame. I was hoping for Diggs. Anyway, stick around.
That's all right.
For Pop Douglas with the afternoon program.
Pop's at least taller than Hart.
Yeah, you know what? He
not by much.
He is, though. I'll tell you who looks like a giant down there is Fitzy. Fitzy's kind of dwarfing people.
Yeah, Fitzy's a tall drink of water. There's no doubt. And then that's Terp down there working
Terp's double shift. Terp's abandoned us. He was in the blue down there.
He was right here a moment ago.
This is true. 617-779-7937. We got all your thoughts here on Jones and Keefe. We have a Hulk Hogan theme. Sadly, Keefe for Madness coming up. We'll pay tribute to the late, great Hulk Hogan. Coming up at 12:45, we still got Grab Bag as well as Clip du Jour here on Jones and Keefe live from day two of Patriots training camp, which has wrapped up. Billy Lanny with all the latest and trending, and we'll get to Drake May, the offense, and how much they need the offensive line this year to protect May, along with what looks like a big year in store for Steph Diggs. All that coming up next.